Open your Bible to John chapter 9. The Gospel of John chapter 9.
Yeah, Brian, every time my social calendar is doctors and labs now. That's about the limit of it. And when I go, they put me on a scale and say, "You're too big." Life's tough, huh? Look at John chapter 9. Why don't we stand and we'll read the first 11 verses. We'll read them in responsive reading. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, I'll read verse 3, and so on. Till we get to verse 11. We'll stop before 12.
Amen.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth.
And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him."
"I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, the night coming when no man can work.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had thus spoken, he sat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
And said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing.
The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is this not he that sat by and begged?"
Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he."
Therefore said they unto him, "How?
He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and I received sight."
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, this is your word and we ask you to bless your word. You promised to bless your word and Lord, we expect it. We ask that you'd touch every heart and life that's here.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give.
Amen.
And Lord, may we be faithful to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Be seated, please. I've got a lot of chapters that struck me way back when I first became a Christian. And this was one of them. Just the testimony of this one man. I just love it. I love his testimony. And in fact, I could preach this almost any time. If somebody caught me on off guard, you know, and said, "Hey, in 5 minutes you need to preach," well, I could just open John 9 and say, "I'm ready." It's a beautiful thing. Here's this man that's born blind. And he's sitting begging. He's by, I don't know where he was, what place that he was at, but sometimes they were by churches, sometimes they were by grocery stores or whatever. I had a lot more experience with beggars when I was in Mexico and especially in Guatemala. Sometimes when they had a nice grocery store where you could actually buy groceries, it wasn't just a market, it was an actual grocery store. And when we would come out of there, there'd be a line of beggars wanting to get a penny. You could just give them a penny, a nickel or whatever. And they just, oh, they're right up in your face, you know. I had a sort of a bad opinion of beggars. And I sort of thought that was their occupation, and I didn't like supporting it. But, you know, you get twisted two or three ways. You think, well, what's it to me? You know? It's just a trouble. I remember one time that this beggar came by. Billy was about 10 or 11, I guess. And this man come by and he had a little boy with him, about the size of Billy. And the little boy has these terrible clothes on. I mean, they are just, they look like some of them you're buying right now for about $125. All holy and patched and whatever, you know. And so Verlene went back and she got some of Billy's good clothes. Didn't have a hole in them, gave them to this guy. Well, he forgot where he went the next week. And he showed up at our house with his little boy in the same clothes that he begged in before. Well, see, things like that, they make you upset. They upset you. But when you think about it, in this man's time, what else could a blind man do? Couldn't be a carpenter. He probably couldn't be a farmer. There's a lot of things he couldn't do that they can actually do today. It's amazing what people can do today.
Thank you, Lord.
But this man was helping his family make a living. What are you going to do? He has to contribute something, so okay, go down and beg. What is your lot in life? You're the beggar. And so he's there and he's begging. And I'll get back to the question here in a little bit about what the disciples asked Jesus. But Jesus spit in the clay, made some mud, put it on the eyes of the blind man, and told him, go to the pool of Siloam. Now, Siloam is the word sent. And it's a pool that comes from like an aqueduct under the ground and comes to this pool. So it was named sent. Told him to go to that pool and wash. He went and he washed and he could see all of a sudden. Wow! What a miracle! What an amazing thing! How would you be? Say you're 25. I don't know how old this guy was. Say you're 25 years old. You've never seen. You've been a beggar from the time you were 10 or 11 or 9 or some whatever. You've been just begging. He's going to have to learn a profession. Nobody's going to give a sighted man the money they were giving to a blind man. He's going to have to start all over. So it's a change in life completely, but wow, what a change. What a change. When I was diagnosed with diabetes at 50, I was blinded. I could not see. I couldn't tell my daughters one from the other 5 feet from them. Fast-growing cataracts. That's the cause of most of the blindness in the world today, are cataracts. And so you're just lucky. You live in a wonderful, enlightened country where you can get a cataract operation. Is that right, Johnny? Nice to get that cataract operation. Man, I see 20/20 with these specs on. Here's a blind man. He goes. He's jumping up and down. He might have been shouting. I don't know what he was doing. He said, I can see! I can see! I can see! And people look at him, well, I've seen him for years. It can't be the same guy. I mean, he was blind. And somebody said, that's not him. Somebody else. Must be somebody else. No way! And so, people ask him. They said, what happened? And look at the verse right here. Just want to point it out to you. Verse 11, he said, a man that is called Jesus. A man that is called Jesus made clay of his spittle, anointed my eyes, told me to go wash. I washed, and now I see. Somebody said, that's not him. That's not him. So they take him to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are the fundamentalists of their day. We are the fundamentalists of this day. And sometimes we fundamentalists, as Billy was pointing out this morning, sometimes do things wrong and we get so sure. Well, the fundamentalist of his day said, a miracle? A miracle's been happening? Well, let's examine it. Let's see if this thing, because they did not like Jesus and did not like what he did. So they ask him. And they said, how do you see? And he tells them the same story again. And they said, what do you think of him? As verse 17, I think it is, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He went from man to a prophet all of a sudden. And then they began to really criticize him and said, we don't believe you. You know, have you ever been to some of these healing services? You ever been to some of them? I've been up there one time. I don't remember the name of the guy. Anyway, he said, I want every God-called preacher up here on this stand. I said, okay, I'm God-called. I had a row seat right up at the front. I clapped my hands and shouted just like the rest of them. But I'm watching, critical, you know. I didn't believe him. I still don't believe him. But God does perform miracles. And so these Pharisees says, this man is not of God because he does not keep the Sabbath day. What we were talking about this morning? What did he do? He made a little mud and put it on eyes and told a guy to go wash. And all of a sudden, a miracle, a man born blind now has sight.
Amen.
Wow. That's work.
Amen.
To these Pharisees it was. And their criticism of Jesus because he did it on a Sabbath day, it made them say he's not of God. So they asked the man, and they asked for his parents. His parents came. They said, he's our son. We don't know how he sees now, but he was born blind, and he is our son. Some said, that's not him. And he said, I am he. And the Pharisee says, give God the praise. Why? Because this man's a sinner. We know he's a sinner because he does not keep the Sabbath laws like we keep them. We set up a lot of rules, don't we?
Amen.
You're going to be surprised who's in heaven.
Amen.
Some of the most prominent people in the church, maybe the pastor's going to be in hell. And some of the people you didn't think cared a lick are going to be in heaven. He made this tremendous statement. This is what I love about the chapter. He's sort of a smart aleck, and I like smart aleck sometimes because I'm sort of one. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. I know not. You know what I know? I was blind, and now I see. And Jesus comes around in the last part of the chapter here and asks him, does he believe on the Lord? He said, well, I don't know who he is. Who are you talking about? He says, the one you can see. You're looking at him. The one that opened your eyes, he said, I believe, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I believe. Wow. What a testimony. I like it. I just really like it. I don't know about all of the theological questions. I don't know that I can answer every question in the Bible. But one thing I know, I was a blind man and now I see.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Your testimony could be, I don't know a lot of things about the different churches. I don't know all the answers to things in the Bible, but I was lost.
Amen.
And now I'm saved.
Amen.
The things I hated, now I love. The things I love, now I hate.
That's right.
I've had a change in my life, and Jesus is a reason for the change.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we go back to the first part of the chapter. I guess this catches me every time I think about it. Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin? That this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Now, the first time I read that, I thought, how stupid can you be? You know? That he sinned in another life or something? He sinned in the womb? He was born blind. Did he sin? Well, I couldn't think that could be at all. And you'd think you couldn't even ask such a question. Now, you might blame his parents. You see, there is a lot of verses in the Bible that point out sin brings trouble. Sin brings tragedy. Sin brings you not getting answers to prayer from God. Sin brings the winds, the storms, the tragedies of life, and it does many times. You remember Job's friends? I don't know how long was the last time since you read Job. Maybe I ought to read it again. Job's three friends came to visit him to comfort him. But they got to the place, Job was not confessing his sin. Job didn't know what he had done to bring this upon himself. And so they began to criticize him, and they began to try to get him to repent of his sins. You know that God would not do this to a righteous man. Don't you believe that? Think about what you believe this morning. Don't you believe that if you walk right with God, God's going to bless you?
All right. Amen.
God's going to give you a job. God's going to heal your troubles. Not all the time.
Right. Amen.
Wasn't in this case. Now, it is in many cases. You can read about it in the Bible. He said this judgment came, this war came, these soldiers came, these deaths came because of sin. 36 men died because of Achan's sin. Directly related to it. So you can't discount it altogether. Many times tragedies come in our lives because of our sin. But you know, when we begin to judge and look at somebody and say, they must have sinned pretty badly. That's not necessarily true.
Amen.
And you're wrong when you make that type
Amen.
Of statement.
Amen.
And we do it just as natural.
Right.
I look at some families and see the disaster of the whole thing and wonder, who did what? What caused all this? What caused this tragedy? If you are in the path of one of those tornadoes up there in Oklahoma or Missouri or Kansas or someplace like that, you might be asking yourself that question today. What did I do wrong? When did I turn against God? What is my sin? That's what these disciples are asking. Who did sin? This man or his parents said he was born blind. Jesus said, neither one. Neither one. You're making the wrong judgment.
Amen.
This man didn't sin. His parents didn't sin. This is for the glory of God. Now, I have heard of some people doing this. I don't think I've ever done it, and I don't think I ever will. Somebody's got a death in their family. They've lost a child. There's been a car wreck. Father's dead. And I'm going to say, well, you know, this is just the will of God. You shouldn't feel too bad about it. No. People have tragedies. They hurt. They cry. They're in pain. They hurt. And they are asking themselves the same questions. Now, what he said was, this is for the glory of God. And here's what I believe. I believe Romans 8:28.
Amen.
All things. Not all good things. All things. Work together for good to them that love God. But let me tell you something. You better be real careful in your judging of others when there's a tragedy coming.
Amen.
It might be you next week. Do you notice that God Almighty allows hurricanes and tornadoes? We're getting a bunch of tornadoes. How about floods? He allows floods. Did you know people are born blind today? There are little boys, little girls born blind today. You know, some of them are born without knees or legs. Some of them are born without their brain being just right. Who did sin? Who did sin? We going to lay the blame on them? No, as I said, there are many, many cases where it can be done, but you better be real careful when you start pointing the finger at somebody who's lost something terrible. A tragedy has come because of their love. And you say, well, they must be big sinners. They must be big sinners. Job wasn't. God acknowledged that he wasn't. And a lot of other people, the same thing. What about Naboth? What was Naboth's big sin? That he should be killed, his son should be killed, and all lose his land that he was holding on to for God? No, 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 no. Be real careful the kind of judgments you make. Tragedies are going to come. You know what happens in life? Life happens. And you know what happens in life? Tragedies happen. I hope your life is filled with blessings. I hope you're successful. I hope you have enough money to live comfortably. I hope your children will grow up and call you blessed. And I hope you'll be able to see them. But my friend, we don't all get that. What about the will of God? Could it be possible God could allow you to go through something for some other reason, a reason you don't know about? Yes, it is. That's what Romans 8:28 is saying. How many of those preachers, John Bunyan, spent 12, 14 years, poor family, blind little girl. He spent years in prison. Just for preaching the gospel. Because he would not quit preaching the gospel and he wasn't ordained by the Church of England. They put him in prison. He wrote some books. Wow, what a blessing they've been over the centuries, and they're still being sold. Who did sin? Be real careful in your judgment. In fact, when you see somebody with a tragedy, why don't you just pray for them?
Amen.
See somebody with a tragedy, why don't you go lay your hand on their back? See somebody with a tragedy, why don't you tell them you love them? See somebody with a tragedy, tell them you feel it. Because it comes to all of us. You're going to live this life, everything's not going to go your way.
Mercy, Lord. Amen.
You better put yourself in the averages. Amen. Yes, there are car wrecks.
Amen.
I thought, I've been interested recently. I like to read biographies. A college professor got me on that. I never liked history. Didn't like it at all. Loved mathematics. Hated history. For a bachelor's degree in college, I got a hold of a man named Mr. Preston. And his outside work was nothing but reading 1,800 pages of biographies of the period, like it was the colonial times. Well, it got me hooked. I just started up. I'm reading right now on Stonewall Jackson, the general in the Civil War of the South. And I was just amazed at how many of his ancestors died in their 20s or 30s. Just one after another. And then I thought about, I never knew either grandfather. My mother's dad, he lived to about 50 or something like that. He saw my sister, but he never saw me. He left a widow with 6 children. She never remarried. My daddy's mother, she was left a widow at 30 years old with 5 children, 11 years old to 2 months. Her husband was 36 years old, in good health, and a disease come sweeping through. So I never met him. Hey, you're living a long time. You got a lot of blessings.
Amen.
You better thank God for your blessings. There are tragedies all around us. Everybody in this room right now knows somebody right now going through a tragedy. And if you don't, all you got to do is look at the TV. And they'll show you hurricanes, tornadoes, strong winds, all sorts of storms and fires and floods. There are tragedies out there everywhere. That's part of life. Part of life is learning to live with tragedy. And it's not always because of sin, other than Adam's sin. But it's not always a personal thing because of sin. And some of these people get accused of it by their friends, by their own churches. And it's a shame. Who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Seems to me, and I'll tell the story wrong, Bill. I always do. There was a blind man in Mexico that got saved. And his testimony in the church after he got saved and was living was, I'm thankful I was blind. Because I don't think I'd ever gotten saved if I'd had my eyesight. Is that right? Fairly correct, anyway. You can tell it better than me. Isn't that something? How about a man saying, you know what? I'm thankful I was blind. Because now I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. What's more important to you? Your spiritual or your physical? Bless your heart, you better have spiritual eyes.
Amen.
Some of us, we got too much physical eyes on everything around us.
All right.
Notice now, it goes a little bit different direction. What Jesus said to himself in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. When are you going to get an opportunity to serve God?
All right. Amen.
Today.
Amen.
Anybody in here got a guarantee on tomorrow? You going to have another birthday?
Amen. All right.
You better do the work while you can. Jesus is telling his disciples, and I don't know why he put it in right here, but he did. I got to do the work I was sent here to do. Right now, while it's day. And you have to do what God wants you to do in the time God gives you. Don't waste your life. Young people, don't waste your life in just going for money.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people with money who are not satisfied with life.
Amen.
There's sure a lot of people with money that have to have drugs and more drugs and more drugs and more drugs, or buy cars after cars after cars, or houses after houses, or clothes after clothes. They can't be satisfied. You read about them. You hear about them all the time. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. He said, I have a day to do my job. And I have to do that work. And that's a real good piece of advice to all of us.
Amen.
I don't know how long America's going to last. I don't know how long this church is going to last. I don't know how long I'm going to last. Doctor was telling me, he said, well, you're just middle-aged in my family. I said, well, and my daddy died at 72, my mother died at 77, my sister died at 75, and I'm 76. Sounds like I'm down at the end, it looks like to me. I'm not in the middle-aged part of that thing. I don't plan to live to be 100. I never thought I'd make this. When am I going to get my work done? Well, this is my only opportunity. You know what? You can't work for God in heaven.
Amen.
Here's where your work is.
Amen.
Up there's going to be all grace and all blessing and man fellowship, and I don't know what all God's going to have us doing. Your time for work is here. You got somebody that needs to be saved? You better talk to them now.
Amen.
You got a family member that's playing stupid, messing around with drugs or alcohol, fornicating, living in adultery, you better go talk to them now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Maybe you ought to go to somebody's house today. Somebody's on your mind. Maybe you ought to go and say, look, I have you on my mind. You got today. You know how I know? You're here.
Amen.
You're here.
Lord.
We're not planning your funeral right now.
Thank you, Lord.
You're sitting right here. Everything's going good. Your wife, your kids, your husband, everything's doing fine. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when you can't work. This short time, my time's going to be up. Pretty sure of that. If I live to be 96, that's going to be terrible. No. Whatever God gives me. But I do not expect an old fat man with heart trouble and diabetes is going to live that long. I'm amazed I've lived as long as I have. But let me tell you something. You have a work to do. You're still here. Someone says, why am I still alive? Because God's got something else for you to do.
Amen.
You wouldn't be alive. If He was through with you, no problem. You better do it. There's a night coming when you can't work. There's a time coming when your opportunity is going to be over. If you're here and you're lost, you're not saved, and you know it, let me tell you what, your time's running out. The gospel's being preached every day. Gospel is being preached over the radio and television and through the airwaves and all sorts of ways, through gospel tracts. Bibles being passed out and printed and put into the language of people who don't even have a written language. Wow. This is your day.
Amen.
This is your day.
Amen.
There's another thing Jesus said over towards the end of the chapter. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. And the Pharisees said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said, if ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, we're the leaders, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. I've come for judgment. Judgment. We don't like tests. We don't like judgment.
Amen.
We're afraid of judges. I do not like to get in the hands of a lawyer or a court. Almost as bad as getting in the hands of a doctor or a hospital. A hospital is like a prison to me. They strap you in the bed. They stick needles into you. You can't turn over. It's no fun. Oh, well. Nice people in hospitals. I'm thankful for every nurse and every doctor. I really am. He's come for judgment. Do you know what's going to happen one of these days? You're going to be judged.
Amen.
Every single one of you is going to be judged. If you're a born-again Christian, you're really sure you're saved, you're going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Right after the rapture, in heaven, all the saints, the church, are going to be judged. None of them going to hell. All of them going to heaven. But they're judged anyway. Or then, if you're not in that group, then there's a great big group in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. All the rest of the dead were raised up, stand before that great white throne, and are judged and condemned and sentenced to hell and dropped off into hell. Wow. You're going to be judged. What are you doing? You pay any attention to that? You think I'm an idiot? You think, who's this crazy old man up there? I'm not going to be judged. I'm king of my own life. I can do anything I want to do. You're crazy.
Amen.
You can't do anything you want to do even because of the physical government. Some of you can't do because your parents won't let you. Some of you can't do because you don't have any money or a job. Some of those things hinder you. You know that? Let me tell you what. You can't do what you want to do without judgment.
Amen.
God's going to judge you. He said, for judgment I am come. He came to be a light. He came to be a savior. And he came to be a judge. And he'll be the judge in all the judgments. Now, look at verse 25. Verse 24, the last part of it says, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Here's your religious leaders. They don't like it because Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, by the way, who created the Sabbath, by the way, said what I'm doing is right. And they said, no, you can't do that. You can only walk so many steps. Man, you can only do this or that or something else. They've added a lot to what God said. And he answered and said, whether you be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
Wow. How do you beat that testimony?
Amen.
You talk about shutting the Pharisees' mouth, they had to kick him out of the church, out of the synagogue. Oh no, we can't have you. Kick him out. Of course, that really would hurt in the type of society in which he lived. Be absolutely terrible. But that's all right. Jesus came to him a little bit later and said, do you believe? He said, believe in what and whom? In the Lord. And he said, Lord, I believe.
Amen.
He went from man to prophet to Lord.
Amen.
That's a pretty good testimony in one chapter, don't you think? A man called Jesus, he is a prophet. Lord, I believe.
Amen.
Some of you need to make that connection.
Amen.
But at any rate, I like what it says. One thing I know. I don't know about your religion. I'm not studied up on the Sabbath day laws. I don't know whether he's a big sinner or not. I just know he opened my eyes. I was blind, and now I see. Now, some of you in this room could give my testimony to me better than I can give it. Because I've given it so many times. When I first got saved, I was nearly 21. Just a couple of months, like a 21. And I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, and gambling in the day. And surrendered to preach, started reading my Bible, and went to this Baptist church, made a confession of faith, got immersed again. And the assistant pastor of this church was a refined gentleman. He was one solid, sweet type guy. Everybody liked him. And he said, I want you to go visiting with me. I said, okay. Hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm hardly know what I'm doing in the church, you know. And he would take me and we'd go by houses of somebody he knew were lost. And he'd knock on their door. He said, "Mr. So-and-so, could we come in?" Of course, the assistant pastor of the church, big church, held 500 in the auditorium, full. They'd let him in. And he'd say, "This is Lendell Kincaid." "Lendell, tell him." I'm serious. I'm dead serious. He would say, "Okay, Lendell, tell him." I've just barely met the people. So I start telling these people, "Man, this happened to me, and this happened to me, and I got saved. I called on the Lord, and I prayed, and I've been saved, and I surrendered to preach. Praise the Lord!" And they'd be crying and falling on their faces and getting saved. I don't know how many people. We went into house after house after house while I was there with that man. I'm inexperienced. I know nothing but one thing I know. I knew my testimony. I knew I'd been changed. I knew I'd been forgiven. I knew I'd been saved. I knew Christ came into my life and made a change. And when I told them that, man, God would just move upon their hearts and they'd grown men older than me weeping, getting saved. It was glorious. Absolutely glorious. Which were happening tonight. Right here. But it happened. What do you know? You got anything you know? Amen. Do you have a know-so salvation?
Amen.
Can you tell your daddy or mama? Can you tell your best friend? Can you tell your husband or your wife how you've been saved? Well, I don't care if you had a testimony like mine. If you're saved, you got a testimony.
Amen.
I don't care if you're saved at 8 years old in your own bedroom. You have a testimony. You have a knowledge of what has happened to me. My life got changed. Something happened. I accepted Christ. Now the things I loved, I hate. And now the things I hated, I love. He made a change in my life. People say, "Why do you go to church all the time?" I want to. I want to. Now I realize I'm getting old and I'm going to be housebound and whatever, and some of you are going to be saying, "Oh, Brother Lindell's backslidden now. He's home. Can't walk out the door. Got to hobble with his walker." Yeah, it's going to happen. Maybe happening to my wife right now. Y'all keep praying for her. One thing I know. I don't know a lot of things. There's some questions I can't answer. Why did that tragedy happen in your family? I don't know. Why did your little girl die at 6 years old in a shooting in a school? I don't know. What do I know? I know Jesus saves. I know He will answer your prayer if you call upon Him and ask for forgiveness. Another question in here, does God hear sinners? That's got some good questions in this chapter. Does God hear sinners? Well, in one sense of the word, He doesn't. The Bible tells you if you live this way, He's not going to answer your prayers.
Amen.
Let me tell you what He'll hear if you're a sinner. Your prayer of repentance.
Right. Amen.
A broken and a contrite heart. Why don't you cry a little over your sins? Why don't you confess to God what you've been doing? Why don't you admit just how sorry you really are?
Amen.
And that you need a Savior?
Amen.
God will hear you.
Yes.
Yes, God will hear sinners if they'll pray a repentant prayer.
Lord.
Confess your sin. Call upon the Lord. I didn't know a lot about this Bible at that time. But I'd heard all of my life that God was a merciful God.
Amen.
And that any sinner that would confess his sin and call upon the Lord and ask for forgiveness, God would hear him and answer.
Amen.
That's all I needed. They say, "Well, it won't last." Well, yeah, 56 years is a short time. Hey, I'm happier now than I was then. I'm more blessed now than I was then. I'm so thankful now that I know the Lord is my Savior.
Amen.
Christian friend, get your heart right with God. You're going to stand before the judgment one of these days. Get your heart right with God. God spoken to your heart about anything, maybe a judgmental spirit, maybe looking down on somebody because of the tragedy that has come in their life?
Yes.
Well, confess it to God. Ask Him to forgive you for it and give you a better attitude and a better spirit. You're here and you're lost? Bless your heart. Why don't you just repent of your sins and acknowledge you need Jesus? Ask Him to have mercy upon you. He'll save your soul. He will change your life forever. You can come 55 years, 56 years down the line and still say, wow, so thankful I made that decision. I'm so thankful He broke in on my life. I'm so thankful for the changes that He brought to me. I've never regretted that decision, which cost me. Several times it has cost me, but I've never regretted that decision. I'm a Christian, and I know it. I'm saved, and I know it. What do you know? Let's stand and sing number 242. 242.